story with me a couple of weeks or so ago. So I said, Wendy, you've got an opportunity now. So look forward to it, Wendy.
Thank you, Neville. I'm not very good at this standing up at the front bit, so I've actually written it down, and it's a little bit like a prayer. So I hope that's okay. It stems back to 4 weeks ago to the Freedom Encounter weekend. Hi there, God. It's me. Just wanted to take a couple of moments to tell you how amazing I think you are. I'm still feeling a bit overwhelmed by what you've been doing in my life over the last 4 weeks. The Freedom Encounter weekend was just the beginning of something new, something beautiful and awesome. Once again, I caught a glimpse of your cross, and you took away all the rubbish I've been carrying for years, all the guilt I've been carrying, the resentment, the pain and the disappointment. What a heavy cloak I had been carrying for years. I'd been lied to and told it was just something I had to live with. What happened, happened. The past can't be changed. People don't change. Thank you, God, that you are so much bigger than that. Thank you, God, that you reached out and took all that away. I can now hold my head up high. You have given me such a peace, peace that I have not known for years and years. The accuser has firmly been put in his place and will not be given the freedom to lie anymore. Your cross shows me that there is always, always acceptance and forgiveness. There is no condemnation. Over the last 4 weeks, I've known a new freedom in my life that's been amazing. I've been able to speak out words of forgiveness and love to those who I once held at such a distance because of things that had happened. You've put a new boldness in my life. It's both scary and exciting. My circumstances may not change at the moment, but you are faithful and good, and I am so looking forward to all that 2010 holds, knowing that you will be with me every step of the way. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for being there for me all the time. Thank you that you came to save and restore. Thank you that you want the very best for me and my family. What an amazing God you are. I really want to encourage those of you that have had something very significant happening in your life, either 4 weeks ago or recently, just to really, really hold on to that. The last 4 weeks have been really challenging, and I think I've really been tested about what God's done, and I've stood firm, and the things that have happened have been really, really quite amazing. So hold on to what God's doing. God's really, really good. And if there's anybody here that's just a little bit stubborn like I am, don't hang on to what you know you should be letting go of, because God does want to heal. He does want to restore. So don't be stubborn. You know, Saturday, that Saturday of the Freedom Encounter weekend, I held on to the very last minute because I really, really fought. And I really, really fought hard. And it wasn't until the end of the Saturday that, you know, God brought an amazing release to me. So don't be stubborn. If you know there's stuff that God wants you to get rid of, then get rid of it. Please.
Well done, Wendy. Thank you. And Wendy, I don't know whether we can stick that prayer in the testimony book. Testimony to the Lord's goodness. Amen. Well, I want to share today. I've headed up my little talk from the old to the new. And of course, I'm thinking partly to do with moving from 2009 to 2010. But not everything is just around those particular days, because God, although he's a God of seasons, and he does move in seasons, he's out of time. So, you know, 31st of December and 1st of January aren't necessarily incredibly significant to God, but it's an opportunity for us to use this opportunity to decide to put the past behind and to move forward into all that God has got for us. And Wendy, that testimony was so real and so brilliant, because she was saying, you know, she had the opportunity to hold on to what God wanted her to get rid of. He wasn't going to force her. She had to make some choices there, but I think you made the right choice, Wendy. I'm sure you did, and I know she's just totally different. And that's because God's come and made a difference in her life. And I want us all to understand and to realise that what he's done for Wendy, he can do for us all. And he wants to do for us all. Because it's a gospel of freedom. I was going to mention it later on, Wendy. I hope you don't mind me mentioning it, but now. But we sang a song today about freedom, but we used to sing another song occasionally. I'm free to dance, free to run, free to something, free to this. And you struggled with that song, Wendy, you told me. Is that all right to tell everybody else you did? And I can say it now. I can say it now because Wendy's just talked about an amazing encounter which she had, which has sorted that through. But when Wendy said that to me, I really felt for her and for others. And I mean, I don't know if anybody's as free as we can be, but it's a gospel of freedom. Amen. It's a gospel of freedom which we proclaim. Free from the past, free from the pain, free from sin, free from fear. It's a gospel of freedom that Jesus came and died for to give us life. And when we sing those type of songs, my prayer, my heart, my hope is that they are real to us. And if they're not, we do what Wendy's done and say, Lord, make this real to me because I don't feel free. I feel stuck. I feel trapped. I feel caught. Well, he's got power to set free everybody that comes to him. And I want to talk today from moving from the old to the new. And I'm going to read from Joshua chapter 1, the first three verses to start with. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give you, to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Joshua chapter 1 is the start of a new era. The first five books are called the books of Moses, and by the end of Deuteronomy, Moses is dead and that era is dead. And Moses was a great man of God. He accomplished incredible things. And the children of Israel would have looked to him as their leader and they relied upon Moses. He had that special connection with the Lord. God would speak to him face to face and he'd be able to tell the children of Israel the commands of the Lord. But after 40 days of mourning the death of Moses, so this word to Joshua wasn't like hot news, Moses is dead. They had been mourning him for 40 days. God is emphasizing something here. Moses is dead. That era is finished. Joshua, there's work to do. There's a new age to move into. And you're the man to lead the people of Israel into this new phase of their lives. Now, I don't know how Joshua would have felt at that time. I think probably with a little bit of fear and trepidation, a bit like Andrew trying to follow in the footsteps of Stella. A little bit of fear and trepidation because Moses had always been there for them. But he was dead and he's gone now. And God was emphasizing to Joshua, the time has come, that season's over, I've got an inheritance, I've got possessions for you to enjoy, and all the congregation of Israel with you. Sometimes, and usually, to get hold of what God wants for us, we need to be acting on those, on the words. The purposes of God, they need to be believed and acted on. And I was thinking as I was preparing my talk during the week, I was thinking, how many prophecies have I had? How many prophecies have we had or you had which have not come about? And you might be thinking, well, we've got to ask the question, is the word wrong, which it might have been? I mean, we need to judge and weigh these things up. Or was it that we didn't act on the word in faith that God had given us? Because I think it's far too easy for us just to declare, must have been wrong then, must have been wrong then. The words can be true. The purposes of God to Moses was that he was to take the children of Israel into the promised land. But actually, that didn't happen. And you can read the stories to find out why that didn't happen. But the word was true. That was God's plan. That was God's intention. It wasn't his intention that they took 40 years to even get there. You see, and so when sometimes when God speaks to us, well, no, usually, always probably, we need to act on the word which is spoken and to help sometimes to bring it about, not in our own strength. God will enable it. You know, when God spoke to Abraham, you're going to have a child, if he and Sarah didn't do what husbands and wives do, there would be no child coming. You know, it wasn't like some spiritual, supernatural thing that was just going to happen because God had spoken. The word needed to be acted on. And I believe the Lord wants to encourage us, wants to bring us into a whole new dimension of stuff which we need to respond to too. So God spoken, and God had spoken to the children of Israel. But as we move from 2009 into 2010, I want to encourage us to leave the past behind and to get hold of the new things God has got for us. For some, 2009 was a good year. But for many others, it has been tough. But we're moving into a new year. 2009 has gone. Now, I cannot promise you that 2010 is going to be any easier. Who knows what's down there? But I know 2009 is past. And I want us to use that as an analogy, if you like, to leave the past behind and to move into this year with hope, with purpose, what God wants to do in your lives and in our lives together. Last week, I expect most of you would probably be at different churches, and as we didn't have the opportunity to meet here, and didn't see any of you in the church we were at, but Emily and I, we went to Joel's church, and Emily likes going there, and Joel always points out that I'm sure your dad's here, Emily, because you brought him along, and Emily nods, yes, that's why he's here. She's an honorary member of his church, you know, in his thinking. So Emily and I went along to Joel's church. We missed most of the talk because after 2 hours he was just getting going, but we had visitors coming later on in the day. But one of the things they were looking at in Joel's church was a series on Thanksgiving. And I just thought it was such an important thing. And as they were looking back on 2009, the thrust, the emphasis that they were bringing is, we look back with thankfulness. And that had been stirring in my heart as well. So when I heard Joel talking like this, I thought, yeah, that's absolutely right. That's what we need to do. We should be the most thankful, grateful people that there are. Because we are here today through all that we've gone through in 2009, and God is still good, and God is still faithful, and we trust in him for what he's got for next year. Now, I know that in saying that in here, you know, people are all different stages and places, and I don't think Malcolm's here today, but you know, I'm aware of the pain and the hurt that Malcolm is going through with Penny. And I'm aware, you know, just this week of somebody having lost their job, and there might be other things, lots of other things I'm just totally unaware of. But church, we need to be a grateful people. And we need to be a people that can say, regardless of the difficulties, God is good, God is faithful, and I'm going to trust him. I've trusted him through 2009, I'm going to trust him through 2010. It's not just about a positive mental attitude, it's about trusting God. It's about knowing he's the Alpha and the Omega, he's the beginning and the end, and he holds every one of us in his hands. In Isaiah 43, the prophet says this, fear not, well, the Lord says it through the prophet, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've summoned you by name, each one of us. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Saviour. There's no promise from those verses that the Christian life is going to be a bed of roses. But the promise is, whatever you go through, I'll be there with you. And we, church, need to intentionally be aware of that to benefit from it. We need to turn to the Lord in these good times and the bad times. And really do what Wendy's done and just pray those real prayers out and just say, but Lord, I'm trusting you in this difficult situation. He's there when you lose your job. He's there when you fail to get that job you were hoping for, when you fail that exam. He's there when you've messed up morally, when your business is going through hard times. He's there when someone close is sick or dying. He's there when relationships are strained, when you feel let down or betrayed. When your spouse wants a divorce, when dreams have been shattered, God is still there. And he's still here for us. And he still loves us. And most importantly, he still believes in us. The words of that Kim Walker, well, it's not a Kim Walker song, but the song that she sang, Oh, How He Loves Us. You wouldn't know how many times I've played that this year and allowed the love of God to minister to me. And I have felt his love. And at times I felt like, not good. But I've received and embraced and enjoyed that sense of love and favor and blessing. And sometimes it's in those harder times when we experience that more than when, like Jim and I, we walk on the mountaintops all the time. It's in the valleys that we experience or have that opportunity to experience the love of God more. And he still believes in us. Last year for me hasn't been an easy year. I remember seeing Gordon Brown interviewed. Actually, I don't think I did see him interviewed. I think I was just feeling for him at the time. But three members of his front benches had left in very short succession. And I remember seeing, I can't remember the woman's name, but you know, seeing a report, and just two or three days earlier, she was totally committed to Gordon, the Prime Minister, and what he's doing, this, that, and the other. And then two or three days later, she was one of the people to leave his front benches. And I remember thinking, I think I can relate to somehow how you're feeling. You know, who else, he would be thinking, is going to go? What effect will these people going have on morale in the cabinet? You know, how many will be left? Have I got it so very wrong? Do I stick to my principles and vision, or do I just give in to keep everybody happy? I can just imagine Gordon Brown going through these thoughts in his mind. And in the end, I think it was the last person to go, but he didn't know that at the time. And over the year, I'd have to say, I felt a little bit like that from time to time. And some have left LifeSpring, and I really wish they hadn't, but they have. And at times I've wondered, well, I wonder who else might be going. And yet deep down, I've got to say, I've been totally convinced that what we were going through, we needed to go through for God to do what he wants to do. That's not callous or hard, is it? Just deep down, I've had that conviction. Haven't always felt it. Sometimes it seemed a long way away and I was just wondering what was happening. But deep down, I've had the conviction that God, Jesus, is building his church and he's doing what needs to be done in order that we might become the people that God wants us to become. And I want to thank God at the end of the year. There's still a church here and a good church. He wants more because he is a God of fruitfulness. He's a God of multiplication. That's not a G12 invention. From Genesis to Revelation, you see that God is a God of fruitfulness. I'm thankful it's a new year, but I'm thankful that Jesus is in control, that he's building his church. And I believe he's going to build LifeSpring into a church which is going to make a difference in this town and beyond. I'm thankful for the testimonies which we've had. We must have had, 100 testimonies over the last year. If it was to a week, it would be 100. You know, over the last year, testimonies of healing, testimonies of blessing, testimonies of people's lives being changed. I'm thankful for life. I'm thankful for family and friends. I'm thankful for a vision. I'm thankful that God's not left us. At the end of the last year, beginning of this year, I'm a thankful person. And I think we need to be a thankful church too. God has been good. God is good all the time. All the time? God is good. Hallelujah. I went with my wife and girls to a New Year thing in Wembley Arena with Jesus House. And we were just a bit like Sunday multiplied by 10 times when we were at Joel's church. It was just a big thousands of black, lovely Christians just loving the Lord and praising and worshipping him in. And they seemed to me, the first time I've met these guys, part of the Redeemed Church, but they seemed, the Nigerian Redeemed Church, so we're part of the Redeemed Church. But it seemed like they were a positive bunch of people. Yeah, I mean, often these black Pentecostals are just so positive about everything. But even they were talking about 2009 having been a difficult year. Even they were talking like that. And yet, the celebration, the dancing, the faith, the acknowledgement that God is good and 2010 is with us in just the same way was so real and evident in those people's lives. And I want to encourage us, church, be thankful. Be grateful. Let the joy of God be in your hearts. That joy that, well, it's peace that surpasses understanding, but that joy that surpasses understanding. Even when things are difficult, there's an inner joy because God is for us and with us. Is it all right for me just to express thanks to a few people? I want to say thank you to everybody here who's walked through choppy waters with us over the last year. And I really want to thank everybody that just put their name on that sheet of paper to say, Nev, Jackie, we're for the Lord and Life Spring too. That meant a lot to us. I want to say thank you to Jackie's and my 12s for just standing with us so brilliantly and faithfully through the year. You've been absolutely fantastic. I want to thank the leadership team and trustees who've had a busy year, and they've been great too. Cell leaders, worship leaders and teams, you've been such a blessing and support. And I could keep on going, but we'll run out of time, won't we? But I just want to say thank you, just thank you. Thank you to everybody that's really helped and been with us. And, you know, sometimes we've had a difficult week and we've just come here and it doesn't matter which worship leader was, but there's been those special times when it's just like the presence of God has just been ushered in. And different ones at different times. And it was like, wow, Lord, you are still here. You are still for us. And I want us to be a church which appreciates, which hungers for that sense of his presence this year more than we've ever done before. So as people come into this building, maybe they also sense him in a real way, find salvation, find healing, find that touch of God which completely transforms and changes their lives. But also as we go from this place, we take the presence of God out, back to our families, back to our communities, back to our workplaces or wherever it might be, because we've experienced him together. I hope that might be our testimony at the end of the year. And I just want to mention a special thank you, if they will hate me for it, but to Craig and to Mike, who have worked so tirelessly behind the scenes for us week after week after week. Mike is often here at 8:30 in the morning, and as I was coming down the stairs, not for the first time this morning, but as I was coming down the stairs at about that sort of time, I was thinking, I reckon a lot of people will still be in bed. But Mike will often have been here at that time, just helping us do what we've taken for granted with sound and lighting and stuff like that. So Craig and Mike, from me, thank you very much. Don't realise what we have until you go somewhere where they haven't got it, and then you think how blessed we are. And so I really mean that from our hearts. Thank you. Ephesians 5 verse 17 says this: do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's an attitude of gratitude. And Lord, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for 2009. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being good. Thank you for holding us in your hands. Through the hard times and through the good times, you have been there. Thank you for being with Malk and Penny at this particular time. Thank you, Lord, that you are the one who is the conqueror. You are the victor. You are the one who's the beginning and the end. Thank you, Lord, nothing catches you out. And you're our God, and we are the sheep of your pasture. You're our good pastor and our good shepherd. And we love you and we appreciate you. And at the beginning of 2010, I want to thank you that you're the God of this year too. And I have no idea what you have in mind for us, Lord. But I want to thank you. It's good things because you're a good God. So we bless you. Help us to trust you more and more. Help us to put our faith in you more and more, that we might take this good news and this confidence we have in you out to those that don't know you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I just want to read another verse, a few more thoughts, and then Alice, we could have another song to end with, please. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 says this: Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. At the beginning of 2009, I remember sharing this. I felt that God wanted it to be a year of us enjoying his grace and favor. I don't believe we've completely entered into all that God has got for us. But even, you know, during those difficult times which I've mentioned, there was that, for me, there was so many times that just sign of his grace and his favor among us. Week after week, we would hear good things that God was doing. But as we start 2010, I want to encourage us, church, that we push in more to enjoy and experience his grace and favor so that we can give it away. And as I said just a few moments ago, you know, if that is the word of God for us, it doesn't just happen. We need to be active. And Paul says here, forgetting what's behind, I strain forward to what is ahead and press on towards what God has got hold of me for. And I want to encourage us to have that attitude that we press on together into all that he has for us. Can I have an amen? Would that be good? That we intentionally press on to receive all that God wants for us. He's got so much. It's a glorious vision. It's a hope which for each one, the gospel's powerful to change everyone. In God, the old has gone and the new has come. And I just want to encourage you, let's pursue the reality of that. Let's not live like we were before we're Christians. Let's live like new creations. Let's live like God has called us to be living. He's not a God of the old. He's a God of the new. He gives us a new song. He gives us a new name. We enjoy a new covenant of grace, much better than the old. He gives us new life. He gives us a new spirit, a new heart. He makes us into a new creation. Church, I'm saying, this is brilliant. We need to enjoy it and experience all that he's brought for us. And one day we're going to enjoy new heavens and a new earth. It's not like he just is making old better. It's totally new. And that's his intention for us. So let's forget the past and strain toward what is ahead. That word, I looked it up in the Greek, so I'm not a Greek scholar, but I looked up that word, straining ahead. What does it mean? Dioko is the actual Greek word. And it means this: to pursue, to follow after, or press toward. And I want to encourage us at the beginning of this year, that needs to be our attitude. To press after God's vision and call for us together, to pursue it, to actively pursue and follow, that we might receive all that he has for us. I don't want us just to settle for the theory. I want us to enjoy the experience of what God's brought us into. And in verse 15, Paul backs me up and he says this: all of us who are mature should take such a view of things. I thought that's provocative, isn't it? You know, if we're mature, he said, we should all be straining ahead. We should all be pushing forward. It's time to move on from the past. Don't dwell on the past. Let's move forward together and pursue that call of God on our lives as a church together. And Paul says, if we're mature, we're going to have that same attitude too. And we're not going to settle back, but we're going to actively get hold of God's plans, God's purposes for us as individuals, families, and for church together. So we're called to be a church which makes a difference. I'm excited about looking at what that will mean for us. I want to share over the next few weeks, I think, some of those things. It's bigger than what most of us think, I believe. Some of you think, well, it's just G12 he's on about, it's just cells, it's encounters. I mean, they're all brilliant and great, and I hope we'll have more of those this year. But it's more than that. It's a vision that impacts. It's a vision that's life. It's a vision that's fun. It's passion. It's a vision which, well, I want to make a difference at school. I want to make a difference in my workplace. I want to make a difference in my families. It's a vision which needs to include passionate worship and prayer. I hope we've seen nothing yet. Do you agree with me? I mean, it includes proclaiming this gospel of freedom. It includes being good news to the poor and the hurting and lonely. It's a vision which it's not worth dying, just dying for, it's worth living for. Yeah, it's a vision which God wants to get hold of us, so that we can take him to a needy and hurting world and see his name glorified and honoured and see many saved. So with Paul's words, let me just say this as I close. Alice, I don't know whether we could just begin to come up with your team. So brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of all that God has in store for us. Or for me. But one thing I'm choosing to do, forgetting what is behind, I'm going to actively pursue what is ahead. I'm pressing on towards the goal for which God has called me, the vision, the plans, the works he has ordained for me to do in Christ Jesus. And all of us who are mature should also take such a view of things. Amen. We stand together.